Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
2 Kings chapter 18 this morning, 2 Kings chapter 18. God does nothing by accident, everything on purpose. And he doesn't necessarily reveal to us his entire plan. Sometimes for a long time, sometimes for a lifetime. Last Sunday, I had a message that I was bringing to you. And the title of the message was, For His Sake. We were talking about King Hezekiah. And I had 4 points. And I got through my first point, and God said to my heart, stop. So I finished my first point thinking that this sermon would never be completed. And then Thursday I got a phone call that put me behind the proverbial eight ball because I had planned on somebody else speaking for me all day. And so in a bit of hurry, I got on my computer and I started typing out and going over some of the things that I read in my devotions and reading in Scripture. And I had this idea already that I thought that I really wanted to develop. And so I started at it. And then as when God told me to stop, he said, what about finishing last week's sermon? Now, see, God knew that he wanted this sermon preached this morning. This part of this sermon preached this morning. I didn't know that this part of the sermon would be ever preached, ever. But for some reason, either for me or for you, God wants to say something, which is supernatural. It's not by accident. There was a great piece about it, actually. If you recall last week, we were talking about Hezekiah and how Hezekiah had a good testimony. His testimony was one that the Bible says he was right in the sight of the Lord according to David his father. His testimony also was the one that he removed the high places and then he went ahead and tore down a 750-year-old image that Moses himself had built. Because people were worshiping that image instead of God, he tore it down. That took a man's man right there, a man of faith. And then the Bible says he trusted, and that's important, he trusted in the Lord so greatly that no king of Judah before him and no king of Judah after him ever trusted God like Hezekiah trusted God. What a testimony. Which leads me to the next 3 points, or how many ever points God lets me preach. Because I want you to see this morning that even through his great testimony, he had some difficult times. Even though he was a man of great faith and great trust and had a great name, and God had his hand mightily upon him, I want you to know that he had some difficult times. And you might be a person that has a great name, and you have great faith, and you have great trust. I want you to know going through difficult times is not unusual. It's actually very common. So let's continue this message this morning about for his sake. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your divine intervention. You always know what you're doing. Sometimes as human beings, we want to follow you, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And Father, it's so important that I be led by you, that I hold your hand or your garment and follow you through whatever's going on in this world, even though I can't see it sometimes. I know that I can trust you. And I'm thankful for the testimony Hezekiah gave us. But this morning, Father, as we talk about the next part, I pray that you'll guide us and direct us. And as I've told you many times this morning, I just want to be an empty vessel. And Father, it's your choice. I want to be an empty, clean vessel. It's your choice whether I get to be filled and be used by you. If that's not what you choose to do, then I want your perfect will. And I pray that you'll just guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing this morning that I want us to see is I want us to see the great trial. He had a great testimony, but now he has a great trial. And I want you to find this in 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read rather a lengthy passage of scripture in 2 Kings 18. Listen to verse number 22, or at least look at verse number 22 in 2 Kings 18. Now, this is a wicked man that shows up. The king of Assyria has brought this vocal voice to Hezekiah's men, not to Hezekiah. This wasn't broadcast to the king. This was broadcast to the king's people, the ones that were sitting on the wall. And the king of Assyria had a strong message for Hezekiah. And I want you to read it because it's a wing-dinger right here. And sometimes in our life, you and I are going to be approached similarly to this. And God is going to be thrown in our face inappropriately. Listen to what's said. But if ye say unto me, this is this wicked man, if ye say unto me, we trust the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before the altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledge to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Elikam, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joha unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. Talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. So you get the picture. This guy, Rabshakeh, said, the Lord sent me to destroy you. And he was speaking in the Jewish language. On the wall were the men of Judah. And they couldn't understand Syrian, but they could understand the Jewish language. So this gentleman, Elikam, said, hey, stop speaking in the Jewish language. You're going to scare these people. You speak to us in Syria. Rabshakeh said unto them, verse 28:7, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? ? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. What a great trial. I mean, Hezekiah was being attacked, but Hezekiah was being attacked by his people being attacked. The king of Assyria sent this man to go and tell these people that I'm coming. If you read the whole passage of Scripture, he basically says, if you'll leave, I will give you land so that you can raise up your family just like you're doing right now, but it just won't be here in Judah. It won't be in the promised land. It'll be somewhere else. But I promise you, if you don't leave, we're going to destroy you. And don't you think for a second that your God hasn't sent me. I come to you on behalf of the Lord your God. I will destroy you. You know, sometimes you're going to hear people come to you on behalf of the Lord our God misappropriately. They're going to twist Scripture and deceive you. The devil wants to sift you as wheat. He wants you to believe the lies of the devil. He wants you to think that it's the Lord speaking. But you and I need to be discerned. And we need to have enough discernment to understand that God would never go against His word. Many people say things like this. This has happened to me several times on visitation. I would invite somebody to church, or I would approach somebody about something that they're doing that is against Scripture. And they would say something to the effect of, well, the Lord told me it was okay. Okay. It goes against Scripture. But me and God have an understanding. Friend, God doesn't have an understanding. God is holy. And what He says is it. When you and I twist Scripture and we let our feelings dictate to us what we're going to do, and it's contrary to Scripture, you will always find yourself on the wrong side of truth. Well, I don't need to get baptized. I'm still going to go to heaven. True. True. But did you know that following the Lord and believer's baptism is the first command of obedience in a believer's life? It's the first thing that you and I are supposed to do as a believer. Once I got saved, I should have been baptized. Why? Baptism does not save. Baptism shows everybody whose team you're on. And it's the only way that I can follow Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't choose to let me go through Calvary. He chose to let me go through water instead, which I'm so thankful for. That's a picture of death, burial, resurrection. So if you're saved, if you've made a profession of faith in Christ and you haven't been baptized, and you say, well, I don't need to do that. Friend, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because the Bible says so. Not because I say so. You know, I don't get extra pay to dunk you in the baptistry. There's not like a bonus here. Like if I see 75% of the congregation get baptized, I get a $25,000 bonus at the end of the year. That doesn't happen. Not in this church. It shouldn't happen in any church. No one ever said to me when I came here, all right, Pastor Nathan, we're going to hire you as the pastor, but in the first 5 years, we want to see an increase of 10%. That never happened. I wouldn't have taken the job if that would have been, because that's what it would have been, a job. I wouldn't have taken the job if that was the requirements that the deacons or the men put on me, because I can't build a church. I think the Scripture tells me that pretty clearly. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can't build a church. I have people, good, meaningful, good-hearted people. They mean well. And they said, man, what are you doing at Victory? What do you mean? You know, you never know how that's going to go. What do you mean? We drive by and the parking lot's packed. You must be visiting 1,000 doors a week. And I'm like, I ain't doing nothing. I mean, I visit people, but that's not what I'm doing. Don't you ever get the idea that I'm doing anything except for following. I'm not doing nothing. I've not built this church. And they'll say, oh, you got to be doing something. They're ignorant people that don't come to church. I had this at the gym happen to me. I was working out, and a guy came over and says, man, you ever seen that commercial where the guy's telling people how to park at the ball games, and he crashes the cars? It's an insurance commercial. He goes, I'd like to get paid to park your guys' car, because I'd be like doing all. He goes, because, man, it's packed every Sunday. Not anymore. But wish he'd have kept his mouth shut. What are you doing? And this is the truth. I don't know. I'm just following. And see, when a preacher decides that he's building his church or his kingdom or his ministry and he's trying to make this thing, you know, here's what we're going to do. Man, I'm going to mess up. As soon as I get in the way, it's over. I'm just staying out of the way. I got in the way to get here, and I'm staying out of the way to be here. You say, that's scripture. And if you have a preacher that's going around talking about what he's accomplished and what he's accomplished and what he's accomplished, take heed lest he falls. Because that's not scriptural. You and I are going to go through trials, and you're going to be deceived by many things. You're going to be deceived in media. For heaven's sakes, you and I are going to be deceived in media. You know what some of the best things that we could do, honestly, this week, if you and I want to have a better week, and this is the truth, I mean this, I don't mean it ill, turn off Fox News. You should have never turned on CNN, so I don't have to tell you that. Turn off Fox News. Turn off CNN. Turn off the news. Watch Andy Griffith or something. Get off of Facebook. You know why we're so discouraged right now? It's because all we do is we watch garbage that are lies from the devil when God says, I've protected you and I've got your back, believer. We're like, oh, we're going to die. Yeah. You know, there are people that have turned themselves into shut-in long before their time was to be a shut-in. Their health is good. By the time this is over, their health will be bad. They'll be a shut-in permanently. And now they've forced themselves to be a shut-in. I feel bad for them. This is wicked. God didn't intend you and I to live in fear in the four walls of our house. Afraid. He also didn't intend us to be stupid and jump in front of buses. So wear your mask. I don't care. I don't care if you wear one. I don't care if you don't wear one. I don't care. I don't. That's Nathan speaking, not Pastor Nathan. I don't care. But if you're worried, I do care, because that's a sin. We're cautious. No, you're worried. And that's a sin. And we say it's okay because society says it's okay. And it goes against Scripture. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of things come to your life and my life. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, this is just the very tippy-toppity of the iceberg. And the iceberg is very big. That's going to challenge you and me in Scripture. And we're going to have to decide if we're going to follow Scripture or follow the world. And that's the truth. And they're going to use Scripture against you. we were in, you men that went to us with the city council back in 2016, and we stood in front of the city council and we made our plea about how we didn't want transgender bathrooms and how we didn't think that we should allow all of this stuff. You remember that? We had all this big thing going on, and it was a 2.5 hour. Everybody had 2 minutes to say their piece, and boy, and the men showed up and other churches showed up, and we said our piece, and we were defending the scriptures and the word of God, and we did our part and we did what God wanted us to do. And a guy on the city council said this: I don't even believe in God, but let me read you a passage of scripture. You remember that? And he misquoted scripture about how we're supposed to accept everybody and their sins. That isn't what I heard happen. That is what I heard that happened. Misappropriating scripture. And listen, don't you think for the second the devil won't come to you and say, God sent me to get you. You better shape up. I'm going to destroy your life. I want you to see the trial. Hezekiah is under this trial. So what happens? Elkanah does the right thing. He runs immediately to King Hezekiah. Elkanah could have said, all right, boys, let's pack up. Let's get out of here, man. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. They'll provide horses for us. We can go and live in a land and not be messed with them. And who cares if it's Judah? Who cares if it's Jerusalem? Let's go somewhere else. But he didn't. No. Elkanah does the right thing. Sometimes the enemy tries to destroy your faith in leadership and in authority. Sometimes that's what happens. This man, Rabshakeh, was trying to destroy Hezekiah's kingship by putting doubt in the people's minds about who is really following God. And that's going to happen to people like you and me. As a pastor, the devil's going to see to it that you question and challenge who's right and who's wrong. I always accept your challenge of going to Scripture. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to be just blind followers of me. If I preach something, you look it up in Scripture. No problem with that. If I go against Scripture, you tell me and I'll correct me. But there's going to be the enemy, and they're going to try to put doubt on the leadership that God has placed in your life. It's what the world's doing right now, trying to get us to doubt the leader. None of it. We could take a straw poll. I won't do it. But I could have you raise your right hand. How many of you don't trust a government? I could ask that question. And I would think that probably we would be pretty unanimous in our vote. And that's why America is on sandy, rocky, a house divided against itself can't stand. Do you trust the Republicans? Do you trust the Democrats? Do you trust the independents? Do you trust the Black Lives Matters? Do you trust the police officers? Who do you trust? You can't trust at all. Who do you trust? Well, can I encourage you to trust the Lord? You and I should be. I appreciate anybody that brings to my attention anything that has been used to try to divide the church. And as you probably are well aware, I will bring it to you pretty hastily. I don't sit on things. I won't. And I appreciate what Elkanah did. He ran to Hezekiah. He told Hezekiah, he said, Hezekiah, here's the deal. Here's what's happened. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes. That didn't mean he sold his clothes. He tore his clothes. He rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloths, and went into the house of the Lord. I see the great trial, and I see the great trust. Here's this army that's way, 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 way bigger than Hezekiah's army. Way bigger. Here's a guy, here's an army that is very deceitful because they're trying to destroy Hezekiah's kingdom from within to without. That's how the devil always works. He tries to get inside and destroy it. The world cannot destroy this church, but we can. No matter what the fiery darts come, we could be surrounded by the hedge of protection, but it's within that could destroy. Discontentment. Backbiting tongue. Questioning whether we're following God. There's nothing wrong with questioning. As long as I don't go against Scripture, there's no question to be said. And as long as you don't go against Scripture, there's nothing for me to question you on either. You got to remember, the Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's our guide. It's our rule book. It's our guide. But I see what Hezekiah did. He trusted the Lord. Hezekiah rent his clothes, approached the only one that could help. Boy, do we need to learn a lesson there. I don't know how I would have handled it, but it might have been like this. Hey, Nathan, some guy came, spoke in the Hebrew tongue, scared the people to death. They're going to destroy us. And they said, the Lord told him to do it. Hey, Pastor so-and-so, man, I got to talk to you about this. Hey, man, I got to talk to you about this. What's going on here? What do you think? Should we call David Gibbs? I mean, what we got to do here? We got to call some attorney or something. We got to do something. I mean, that's my natural, you know, I want to call somebody. And that was what I used to do. My first call, my only call, was my dad. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. So I've learned not to pick up the phone, but hit my knees. And it took a very hard thing for that to learn me the lesson, teach me the lesson. But I want you to know that we should trust the Lord. So when trials and tribulation come into you, what are you doing? I want you to know the right thing to do is to go into the Lord. Go to your prayer closet. Get in there and trust Him and say, Dear God, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I want to know what you need me to do, and I trust you. And he went into the Lord, and he sent Elkalim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet. First thing he does, goes to the Lord. Second thing he does, godly counsel. It wasn't reversed. How many times do we get that reversed? Hey, your first call should not be me. Your first call should be God. God may lead you to call me, but your first call is Him. And then Isaiah. Isaiah comes along and does this and says, God's going to give you victory. Here's what he says in verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the word which thou hast heard. The Lord tells me to tell you not to be afraid that I've told this guy. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. The trial. The trust. He turns to God. The truth. Listen. If the devil tempts you with a lie that goes against Scripture, go to Scripture to find the truth. The truth is there, and the truth will set you free. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did, and Isaiah said, listen, the Lord is telling you, don't worry about them. You won't even have to fight the battle. We have the testimony, which is important because the testimony is going to help you during the trial. The trust is so important because after it's all said and done, you'll find the truth. What's the truth? What does God do? Well, you can read it. It's found later on in the passage of Scripture. There's a rumor. They go back. God sends one of his angels. It's not the angel of the Lord. It's not Jesus, but it's an angel of the Lord. And while the army's asleep, that angel kills 185,000 soldiers while they're asleep. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how big the army is. But if 185,000 soldiers are dead in the morning, your army has been hurt. So the king flees. He's in the temple of his God, lowercase g. His two sons walk in while he's worshiping his God and kills him in his temple, worshiping his God. The man that said, "The Lord told me to come and tell you that I'm going to destroy you." And God took care of the problem. And Hezekiah didn't have to lift up a finger to do nothing. Instead of lifting up a finger, Hezekiah bent his knees. Hey, listen, you and I, what's your testimony? Are you going through a trial? Is the trial so deep and the devil so real that he is throwing scriptures, misquoting scriptures at your brain to try to get you to follow his bidding? You go to the Lord on your knees, open your Bible, and you trust him, and the truth will come out, and he will set you free. He is our conqueror. The old preacher said it this way: your arm's too short to box with God. But we're too weak to box with the devil. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's nothing. Literally nothing for God to do something for you. When I say it's nothing, that means it doesn't take any effort. He created the world in 6 literal days with his spoken word. Your and my trials are very, very minute. And he can intervene. Miraculously. What is it? Who is it? Are you following Scripture? There's a trial, there's a trust, and there's the truth. Who is on the Lord's side? Hey, listen. There's a lot of people out there that say they're followers of Christ, and they are not. They use the name of Christ to advance their kingdom. And then there are people that follow Christ, and they want Christ to be honored and glorified. Make sure, if you're listening to preachers on television, and this is a dangerous thing right now, especially with COVID, a lot of people are using television and internet as their church now. Well, you can turn on a guy that's standing in a suit behind a pulpit, and he could be teaching you false doctrine. Be careful. Be careful. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not on the side of Hezekiah's team. You're not on the good. You're one of the 185,000 that God will take out one day if you don't get saved. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. And I pray that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you'll trust him before it's eternally too late. Remember this: he loves you, he died for you, he was willing to go to hell for you so that he wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. Now, there's a reason that God wanted me to finish this message this morning for someone. I don't know who. He didn't say, "All right, Nathan, here's what you're doing and here's who's it for." I have no clue. All I can tell you is, whatever you're going through, God is bigger. And don't you for a second ever think that the devil and God will team up. they'll never be on the same team. They'll never be on the same side. They never pull in the same direction. Never, not once, will they do that. So if the devil's pulling this way, God is obviously pulling that way. He'll use it. The devil will use God against you if you'll let him. But God will never be against you. It'll be a lie. You need to discern the truth. Seek the Lord, lest so he be found.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.